Resurrected Republic, Truth Radio Broadcast, on RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Hello, welcome, and thank you for listening to RTR Truth Media on RBN. This is, of course, Chris Switzer, co-host here with our other co-host, Rachel Tobias. How are you today, hey, Rachel?
Hey, not bad, and it seems like we got our work cut out for us today, huh?
Yeah, it seems to always be that way now. They're just throwing everything at the fan, it seems.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But yeah, go on.
No, we were of course sharing a little bit of our notes before we came on air, and of course a lot going on over the ocean there with the Wexner Foundation and politicians, you know, trying to distance themselves from, of course, Leslie Wexner and his connections to Epstein, and all the sordidness coming out now with Ghislaine Maxwell, her connections to Ehud Barak, and you know, all the gifts, the donations, the favors, and how could you, you know, accept that when they're connected to pedophilia? You got some people on one camp saying that. It's, you know, it's always the same type of politics over there. But we were sharing some articles about that. And then we have protests also going on outside of Benjamin Netanyahu's estate where he lives in Israel, protesting because of his connections and crimes and his three indictments, you know, that he's currently on trial for over there. But we have one article here that Rachel and I both kind of shared at the same time in Haaretz. Likud lawmaker accuses Wexner Foundation of poisoning the minds of beneficiaries. That was one of them. And I'm sorry, that wasn't the one I actually wanted to click on. The other was right here. Where's Wexner? It says, where's Wexner? Foundation named, with me here, foundation named after billionaire philanthropist distancing itself from founder. And of course, fellows, alumni call for greater transparency at the Wexner Foundation in wake of Jeffrey Epstein's scandal, noting that simply removing Leslie Wexner's name from the official website isn't proof of fundamental change. It goes on, as clouds of suspicion around Leslie Wexner have darkened over the past year, the foundation he created 30 years ago to cultivate leadership in the Jewish world in Israel appears to be divorcing itself from the billionaire businessman's name and persona. So I don't know. And then there's also, of course, if we're going to distance ourselves from everybody connected to Epstein and, you know, the pedophilia cases that are going on right now, shouldn't we distance ourselves from Bill Gates, from Anthony Fauci, from others, you know, related and connected in any way? Why, you know, why is it just the news over in Israel distancing itself? And why not, you know, American news media talking about distancing itself from people because of their connections to pedophilia, human trafficking, and the likes? Obviously, that's anyone's guess, but I have my own opinions on the matter. I think there is a double standard often, you know, with what goes on domestically over in Israel and what they would like to see happen elsewhere outside of their own, you know, home in Israel. For example, you know, multiculturalism, the immigration thing, open borders, of course, you know, over in Israel, of course, they are not for open borders. You know, the mainstream, Likudniks, et cetera, conservative, it probably you'd call them fundamental orthodox parties over there, the extremists, if you will, Zionists. But then you would have them, those same politicians and outspoken activists over there that are for that, would also say that here in America, you should have open borders and all cultures and be the melting pot. And all that, of course. So it's really a double standard. Do you have anything to add, Rachel?
Oh, certainly. I'm happy that we're both talking about this for a couple things. In my own position on the Epstein thing and everything coming out of it, I have to do this balancing act personally of where on one hand, trying not to have any expectations because we know how the justice system is, be it in the U.S. or Israel and the corruption thereof, but also accepting the wins when we get it and being optimistic. I think that article, it's good that Wexner's name is coming up. It's good that that foundation wants to, you know, the people are like, hey, this Wexner Foundation, it's supposed to be all about Jewish leadership, but why exactly did they donate $2.3 million to Ehud Barak with no explanation? Leslie Wexner trying to say, oh, I made a mistake associating with Epstein. And there's even, I don't know the name of the woman who said that she was raped or assaulted on Wexner's estate and claiming that she had heard Epstein himself say, oh, Wexner likes me, lets me do whatever he wants. So I think it's good if Leslie Wexner's name is out there. I wish it were more out there in the U.S. media than it is in Israel. But I think it's just good if people are bringing that up, even if it's in Israel. And I agree with you. And I want to point out to our listeners, it's possible for us to acknowledge a double standard that exists, for instance, with how, you know, people use politics in Israel versus how they treat the U.S. while not supporting the system in of itself. Like, I'm personally, I don't want to get too sidetracked here because we have quite to go over. I'm for open borders in general in terms of free enterprise, association, and trade. However, I do recognize the double standards when it happens. And pointing that out doesn't mean that I like the system. It just means I recognize the global politics going on and why people are doing what they do and for what agenda, if that makes sense.
No, absolutely.
Yeah. So absolutely.
Makes 100% sense to me. that's great about, that's what we should have in a free society. We should be able to speak freely, you know, as long as we're not calling for, you know, the death or harm or, you know, anything like that of others. And you know, I think we all have common sense, but oftentimes we see the media not promoting common sense. And that's quite obvious.
Exactly. Like I've mentioned, just to give an example, too. I'm not necessarily pro or anti-statue, if that's even a position. I don't think statues should be put up, you know, as monuments of some kind of conquest, but I don't think that they should be taken down to erase history. So it's kind of like calling out the system on its own terms and conditions doesn't mean I agree with the system. It's just easy to kind of use that to point out to people the corruption that does exist.
Yeah, absolutely. And to say that Leslie Wexner, you know, if he came out and apologized or said he had little to do or didn't know what was going on in regards to his role or connection to Jeffrey Epstein, that's a load of crap. He is literally the sole financier behind the setting up an agency of Jeffrey Epstein, his whole start.
Basically. In one of those two articles, I think, I'm not sure which article was from Hot Eretz, he said that he quotes, you know, he claims that he didn't know what Epstein was up to in terms of the illegal activity of the underage girls. Yeah, he's already said, oh,
I admit that I have financial ties and I was his only client on the books, but I didn't know what he was up to. Okay.
Yeah. And by the way, this doesn't even, let's say we snapped our fingers and didn't even talk about Epstein in terms of Wexner. This doesn't even touch Victoria's Secret or Lane and Bryant or Finding Models or any of the other activities that he was involved in.
No, you're right. It's multifaceted. That's obviously not his only skeleton in the closet, as if it's in the closet. You know, people know about it and have for years. Yes, many, many other things are very sordid about the man. He makes his money off of seemingly the backs of others, like other in his industry. But yeah, he has like child trafficking connections and sexual, rape charge. allegations, I guess. It's pretty sordid.
Yeah, so what I was saying there with Victoria's Secret, with Ellie Bryan, with his other clothing companies, it doesn't mention them looking for models to use to traffic. So it doesn't even, you know, exactly. This is multifaceted.
Yeah, absolutely. And what's anything new on the Ghislaine Maxwell front? I know she was denied bail, obviously, but I don't know if anything else has been kind of shaken out of the woods.
I'm not as super up to date on that. I would highly recommend our listeners look into Ryan Dawson of the Anti-Neocon Report, mm-hmm. who is just on Sean Atwood, because he's been doing a great job talking about Epstein and Ghislaine in the entire case. The last I had checked was the courts revealed that she had been married to some very wealthy person. I'm not sure if there's any other that basically they're trying to use COVID to delay things or keep her, mm-hmm. isolated or something. So I'm not really sure of any other further updates from that.
Yes, exactly. She did try to hide the marriage from the pretrial, hearing. She wouldn't include it in her paperwork, et cetera. But of course, the tabloids and the FBI found it. Don't know who did first, but whatever. Yes, and trying to look in for the name right here. I don't have it off the tip of my tongue. But so your thoughts on the speculation that she would be Epstein'd in, in her confinement or holding. What are your thoughts there?
I mean, I kind of have a similar notion that if that did happen, I think it would make it even more suspicious. I don't think they can get away with that twice.
Yeah.
Per se, that's really what I think. And then plus, they're going to want to try to keep her alive because she's sort of the last link other than Epstein of having names and information. And if this really were, if Trump really did want to go after Epstein and other people associated, keeping her alive would be in his best interest, especially during an election year, to try mm-hmm. to get some credibility and to, go after these pedos and things like that. So I don't think she's going to be Epstein anytime soon. That's what I think. Yeah. I think they're going to milk this one out.
True. I mean, it would be epically stupid, I think, mm-hmm. to do that. But I don't know. I mean, with kind of the shock tests they've already done with masks and compliancy and all sorts of things, it's almost like, hey, how far do they go, today? And where is their line? What mm-hmm. won't they try?
Oh, yeah. And we could very easily segue from this into what the states are doing in terms of compliance and the crazy COVID responses. And I don't think it's any secret or coincidence that Ghislaine's trial and that BB's trial is going on during a quote-unquote pandemic. That kind of, at least in my mind, gives more mm-hmm. credence to the idea of this thing being planned. Only a sense of it takes away from those trials out of the media and out of the spotlight because people are so busy with this whole scandemic, whatever you want to call it, that it definitely takes away from that. When you have rioting and destruction and the things going on in Portland, people are going to be much more obsessed with that than following up on Ghislaine's trial or Wexner or, what's going on there with BB.
Yeah, absolutely. There was a case in Washington State where somebody was cited, for not wearing a mask. They had a court date, of course, to come in. They did take the offer to go in. They went in, but they wouldn't abide by the rules to enter the courthouse, which was, of course, to wear a mask, right? And that's why he's going there for the citation. So he said, I'm not going to wear a mask. And they looked to their superior, and then they said, okay, well, how about you wear this? And it was like one of those screened, headgear with the screen. Uh-huh. He's like, I'm not going to wear that either. I'm sorry. So then they're like, okay, well, how about a scarf? Right. And he's like, I'm not going to wear a scarf. He's like, get it. I'm not going to wear anything. I'm not going to wear anything. That's why I'm here. This is my citation. So then she went to her superior again and basically said, okay, we gotta think about this and we'll get back to you and let him go on his way. So it'll be interesting to see the outcome of that. Other states are not even doing in-person appearances for court. For example, here in New Jersey, I have a court, would have been a court appearance coming up, but it's virtual. It's virtual now. So, I mean, they avoid the whole thing with masks here in New Jersey. And I would imagine other states by having virtual appearances, which is very different.
I wonder what the privacy issues are.
This is all new stuff.
With virtual courts and things like that, uh-huh. of course. And in terms of states and the crazy things they're doing, New Jersey is with this too. I had mentioned previously, at least on Twitter, I was looking into all the things, the crazy things that Governor Cuomo was doing for New York State. And they're supposed, some of them are supposed to be similar to New Jersey in terms of travel, where everything, you know, our listeners need to be aware of, and I know that they are, everything is voluntary until it's mandatory. So they'll tout out ideas and we all think it's silly. And then after a while, they'll be like, okay, now it's mandatory. Now you all get penalized. And a lot of these governors are operating on so-called emergency powers that they really don't have. None of the things that they're passing are actually laws when it comes to mandates and edicts and things like that. It's a strongly worded, backed up opinion. It's actually not a law. And again, this is one of those instances where I don't agree with the way the system's set up, but I can still point out how the system, you know, goes against its own terms and conditions. So while I have my own issues with laws in of themselves, this is a clear example where these governors aren't even passing laws. They're passing these mandates and powers that they technically don't have. And all this is completely unconstitutional.
Yeah.
So for instance, when it comes to travel in New Jersey and New York, travelers are expected coming into the states are expected to fill out a questionnaire of all their personal information, who they are, their name, their info, where they're coming from, their reasons for visiting, all these things. And if you don't fill it out in New York, you're looking at a $2,000 fine. And if you do fill it out, you can be contacted by a track and trace person that can tell you to mandatorily quarantine unless you're quote unquote essential, but you can be told to quarantine, and if you refuse to, you can get fined with a $10,000 civil penalty.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, I don't know how any of this is going to stand up in court, because airlines are not, they're not legally, they don't have to fill out these questionnaires. They have to comply with like federal guidelines, and this has nothing, you know, like federal guidelines in operation have nothing to do with a questionnaire. And it is illegal for a state to subpoena, try to get a list of the passengers on a flight. So the only way for them to get your information from the airline, you know, is if you voluntarily write it down. Yeah. But what they're trying to do, it was funny. I was reading, it was like the Syracuse newspaper. I was reading this article about it, and it said, because people are saying, okay, this applies to airlines, but this also applies to buses and cars and trains and any sort of means of transportation. Well, how exactly is this going to be enforced? And a couple different articles I had read, one of them said in the Syracuse paper, well, it's an honor system, but if you don't do it, the state can threaten you. You're like, wait, it's voluntary, but if you don't do it, then you'll be punished. It's like, that sounds like coercion and duress to me. That sounds like you're signing, you know, over your rights under duress. So it's pretty insane stuff. And that goes with that $12 billion track and trace program they have in New York. And New Jersey is supposed to have the same rules. And in addition to that, in New York, Cuomo recently said that bars or anywhere that serves alcohol have to serve food with the alcohol, or else they'll get their liquor license taken away. And I think the reasoning behind this arbitrary rule in general, because there are reasons behind this. So let's say the reason that this was issued was to probably keep people out of bars and from crowding and what have you, you know, people that want to go out and they're whole sick of the whole thing. So this is an arbitrary rule that probably stems from that logic. But at least hopefully now people are willing to see, once you have the bars just be like, okay, buy a dollar bag of chips. The chips are called Fuck Cuomo. Some of these restaurants, you know, and bars are just naming things about how they hate Cuomo on the menu list, literally, which is great. So that people can just go ahead and get around this rule. But once arbitrary rules are passed, and again, they're not laws, they're just these weird mandates, hopefully people look at this and go, wait a minute, this isn't solving COVID. This isn't health and safety. This is just crazy now. I mean, it's been crazy, but yeah, more obvious.
Stay with us. We'll be back after the break.
Let me tell you how it's gonna work, kids. You work hard like your parents both did. Everything you earn by breaking your backs. We're gonna redistribute when we make our pay tax. Hey, sit back down, don't be a jerk.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Mother of the moon, which built my sails, rose the sea of years. With no provisions, but in no place, oh, the straits of fear.
Back. Thank you for listening to RTR Truth Media every Sunday between 12 and 1 p.m. Central Time, 1 to 2 Eastern Standard Time, of course. Off air, we were just talking about how literally almost anything can be a presumptive COVID case with new criteria coming down, and how Governor Cuomo has used that, of course, to his benefit, and how even in private affairs now with individuals can use it to, you know, incentivize snitching, or even using it in, you know, child custody cases with visitation and stuff like that, and using it in that way as a hindrance or deterrence from one party seeing the child, etc. I even saw a case where children ratting on their parents, you know, to people and getting social workers involved in that way, you know, just for having a different opinion other than the mainstream. It's getting it's to that point. It's not getting there. It is to that point, and it's just, it's not good. I don't want to say to be fearful, because nobody should be fearful, but be informed, you know, be educated, understand, you know, what is at risk and why and how you can actually protect yourself, you know, and make sure that you guys are safe. I pulled up an article here from TexasScorecard.com, anybody who wants to follow along, and it is Texas's new coronavirus criteria could artificially spike Collin County cases. And this was on a video I saw recently, and this health official goes on to say at this commissioner's administrative hearing how the new criteria basically allows them to treat anything as a COVID case or a presumptive COVID case, which then falls under the new counted as an official case. They just put an asterisk next to it to make sure that if you read the fine print, that was a presumptive, not a confirmed case, but it's going towards the total official case count. And that's why you see a 77,000 case spike in New York, Rachel's home state, just the other day.
Wow. And Chris, I do want to specify a couple of things. I do believe that all these states, you know, are coordinating, working together. And it's sad because I tend to see Texas as one of the more free states. I know that Cuomo is sending them financial help. In my personal opinion, he's looking for votes. I think he's going to run for president in the future, and he's looking for favoritism in red states. That's my own personal opinion on that. But according to the travel advisory, quote unquote, that Cuomo is passing, he's saying that this applies to states, which he has 22 on the list, where if I think it's 10% of the population has COVID, it's considered an emergency. It's considered like one of the states on the list. It's pretty crazy. And we know also, tangential to this, Florida labs were lying recently. They were caught not reporting negative cases and significantly boosting their numbers, where they were saying they had a 98%, you know, positivity rate for COVID when it was really like 9 point something. So pretty crazy stuff. So it's like, as you can tell, what I'm trying to get at is these states piggyback off of each other. If they're lying about the percentage of cases in one state, another state will look at them and say, okay, we're going to have travel advisories based on what's going on over there. So this whole thing is a mess, but it's a mess on purpose, because they're going to want power and they're not going to want to let that go by any means. They're not going to let some information and data get in the way
of their actual power.
Yeah, and also, when Trump says things like, oh, well, we're going to have the data come through Washington instead of the CDC, or, you know, we're going to do, the states will turn around and say, look, he's trying to control the whole thing. It's the federal's fault. You know, we see a lot of local states, including New York, throw federal under the bus and blame Trump for his response, when a lot of these states are kind of are doing their own shenanigans, really.
Yeah, I think a lot of it is, you know, yes, the states are definitely all corrupt, in my opinion, but they may have different, you know, different triggers, different, you know, waypoints and places where they are going to try to take advantage and use the situation to their agenda. For example, I think they're all utilizing the federal slush funds that are coming available because of COVID crisis and, you know, the pandemonium, the just fear factor, the panic, just like we saw with the 2008 bailouts, you know, because of the housing bubble and, oh my gosh, all the banks are going to fail. What then? We're going to lose society, etc. They want to fear us into getting behind it with public consensus, so that when they pass the laws that they've already had written for like a year and a half, they just need something to actually get behind it with and put the teeth in it, and then they do it and they're like, here it is, you know, let's give a billion here, we'll give a, you know, half a bill here, and it's fine, it's dandy. But stay right here, we'll be back right after the commercial.
This is the most transparent administration in history.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. Nikki, great product. Have to try it for a few months to see results. After taking Extendovite for about 6 months, I have noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from carpal tunnel. I will continue to buy the product. Ken Peaks, 5 out of 5 stars. Works as advertised. This formula is very powerful. Be careful to follow directions. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure has stabilized and my lower edema has reduced. Lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. Thank you. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Enough is not enough.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. I'm still reading into this website here, and I was reminded by the video, I think, from High Impact Flicks that actually covered this. He included a Fox News segment reporting a motorcycle death as a COVID death. Okay, and I believe that was right out of Texas as well with the new COVID criteria. They even questioned a doctor about it, they actually got somebody to comment on it, surprisingly. And shockingly, he admitted as much and said, well, his only thing he could throw out there as a, you know, a supposition was, well, perhaps, you know, the doctor who signed off or whoever signed off on the death certificate thought perhaps that COVID was a leading cause to the motorcycle accident. And even if that is the assumption of the person signing off on it, it's allowable, you know, under the criteria, and it's completely actually encouraged. It's not only allowed, they would prefer it. So that's what's going on right now. And it's definitely affecting travel. We were talking about how, you know, if you go into some of these states and then leave, you're supposed to quarantine for like 14 days, or you're a presumed case. It's just a lot of money involved. The producer, Kevin said, it's money. It is. Everybody's getting paid. Not the little people, but everybody who's pushing this same set agenda coming down from on high, from, you know, Gavi and Bill Gates, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, you know, these big moneyed corporations that are involved. It's a big corporatocracy, and it's a big COVID hoax, and it's getting to the point where you can't even say things like COVID hoax without being looked at as a, you know, a paper terrorist, or I don't even know. It's just we're there, folks. Idiocracy is right here. They're going to start, you know, giving the grass Gatorade for electrolytes, and it'll be acceptable because someone said it was okay.
Yeah. So, Chris, it's just, you know, what we're trying to do is keep track of all the moving parts here, because you have the tests themselves, which for a while there was initially the FDA and federal regulations were blocking home tests. And then once people got home tests, how accurate are they? What are they based on? You know, are samples being fiddled with? What's going on there? Can people actually get a hold of them, and do they work? So we have a mess of this from every aspect. In my personal opinion, it's because they want to scare everyone into bottlenecking them towards a vaccine. And there's a couple of progresses in terms of that. We know about Trump supporting Gavi, even though he took money away from the WHO, which is good. I'm like, screw him, screw the WHO. But we know about, you know, the monopolization that's going on there. We know about, I believe that volunteer trials are still happening, and they're trying to move to 30,000 people, I believe, is the goal of how many people they want to have vaccinated, to see what happens to them. And I think what we're going to really be dealing with here fundamentally is this holding the economy, holding the U.S. hostage until people comply with their stupid rules regarding the mask, their stupid rules regarding distancing, their stupid rules regarding a vaccine. And I'm not here trying to tell people, hey, you should never wear a mask. I think at the end of the day, individuals need to make personal health decisions about what works for them. And I've been so frustrated with this whole debate, because really it's difficult to have a centralized health plan. I understand the argument and the ethical argument of COVID affecting other people and people being scared and want to keep people safe. But to have a national mask mandate, which is something that Cuomo calls for and tries to, you know, goad Trump into doing, it's really a bad decision. And I'm not saying that masks don't do anything, because they're really, it also deals on the effectiveness of the materials as well, if we're going to have an honest conversation about it. And also we have to talk about the potential negative consequences of wearing masks too, but it really comes down to the individual and their health needs, right? If someone's asthmatic, has respiratory issues, they maybe can't necessarily, even though COVID would be terrible for them, maybe in the interim, it's still a bad idea for them to wear a mask. So everything, like every other conversation, becomes so black and white and so divisive, and doesn't allow that room for nuance, which is something that really needs to happen when it comes to health and personal choices. And we're seeing snitch lines. We're seeing people like this, you know, kind of fake fight between Trump and Dr. Fauci. I posted a link to an article where Dr. Fauci, this is according to Business Insider, was saying, here's the three fundamental things we need to do. We need a quote unquote reset. We need to have everyone wearing a mask, distancing. We need to close the bars just for a few weeks. And that's how it really seems, is, hey, we just need to do this for a little bit. Just need And I'm sure you and I, in the back of our minds, were like, how far can they take this? They're going to want us to wear masks. And I personally, again, this is speculation, I think if we all stayed home and we never left our house, we even wore masks in our house and everything, they could still just go, oh, hey, cases spiked. Oh, hey, yep. You know, COVID. They really have, I'm not saying this isn't serious at all of any aspect. I'm not saying it isn't a danger to vulnerable people. What I am saying is the position that these globalists and controllers are in, the politicians, you know, the vaccine companies, they have a blank check to scare the shit out of people because nobody can 100% give an accurate portrayal of the data for so many of these reasons that we're talking about right now.
Yeah.
And it's a shame.
And
yeah.
You're absolutely right. And then I want to just give an example of this new Bolshevik, atmosphere, environment that we live under with these new criteria and COVID emergency, be it medical, be it legal, be it whatever. It's all under the corporate umbrella and through these health ministries now. And here's an example. Out of Minnesota, there's a Dr. Jensen who was actually Minnesota Doctor of the Year 4 years ago. Okay. So, I mean, clearly the state liked him then, right? But now he basically got a letter from the health department of Minnesota, let's say, I believe it was, and they just wanted to let him know that he's now under investigation. His practice, his license is called under question because of his. He basically said he's been treating this type of coronavirus for, you know, the last 30, 40 years he's been in practice. I think he's been in practice over 30 years. Basically he's saying, you know, hey, the numbers show that the flu was greater, you know, and what's going on? Why are we, you know, and he was just questioning things. And he, you know, he was saying all that. And basically you can't do that. Now he's under investigation. He may lose his license to be a medical practitioner.
Yeah, you have incredible. The New York State Department of Health saying that Cuomo did nothing wrong when he and, you know, I think it was Howard Zinn, I forgot his last name, the director of New York State Health, basically issued a policy saying nursing homes can't turn away COVID patients. They can't discriminate or demand to know their status. You know, they have to accept them because they don't want to overrun the hospital beds, even though there is the comfort ship and other things. And I keep bringing up New York, partly because I live there, but also to really bring up the point that these people are doing whatever they want. They really are, with no real oversight and checks and balances into the things that they're doing. And now we're seeing, you know, you had mentioned riots in Tel Aviv with how people are being treated. I believe, was it Serbia? There was riots recently because that country, they were issuing curfews. Which is crazy because the idea, and again, I can understand
the parliament.
Yeah, I can understand the reasoning behind that, but that reasoning still, you know, doesn't really make any sense. If you issue a curfew, what you're trying to do is say, okay, we're trying to keep everyone at home, but you're going to force everyone to go out within the same hours and actually make things worse. You know, you're going to have crowds of people instead of spreading them out throughout the day. So people need to understand, and I'm sure our listeners do, the difference between coronavirus in of itself and the actual policies that are being passed and how they're making things worse, and that it really isn't about health and safety. It's compounding all the problems. And we haven't even experienced enough of the economic fallout from this. Like, that's still coming.
we're still experiencing that.
Yeah.
That's ongoing, for sure.
When you have the Federal Reserve buying up corporate debt, which has, like, never happened before. This isn't Trump taking over the Federal Reserve. This is the Federal Reserve becoming even more powerful. I mean, this is just
they're not going anywhere. Of course, come on now. There's still got the Trading with the Enemy Act. If you look at a lot of these big acts, they don't do anything to, you know, to help us or insulate our freedoms. All they do is insulate the banksters and, you know, their interests and the big monopolized, you know, corporate interests that are all around them and among them.
Yeah. And Chris, I went to Chase Bank yesterday to take care of some things, and I saw a note on the door that said, hey, there might be, you know, a limited amount of change or coins at this branch. And it's because the government has a limitation on coins. There aren't enough being produced and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. We know exactly where that's going.
And just to show you how crazy things are also getting in other parts of the country. In Utah, there was a commissioner's hearing for an area on the whole mask, you know, the new mask regulations and how they're going to be done moving forward. And they were going to have the hearing, let the people speak and, you know, air their grievances or their concerns, whatever it may be. And the people did not want to wear the masks there. They didn't want to comply, you know, with the whole thing inside. So they literally were like, oh, we're not going to do the hearing. That was it. We're no longer going to do the hearing because you guys don't want to play by our rules. Yeah. It's like, isn't that it's again with that whole idea of I'm here for this reason. You know, I have a citation and you won't let me in now to then rule on this situation. So it's just super crazy that, hey, we can't, you know, you want to talk about it? No. All right. You got to do it this way. It's conditional. You know,
yeah,
I don't know.
There's all kinds of. Yeah, there's all kinds of lawsuits. I mean, that Cuomo's getting either from religious groups who can't practice their faith because, you know, churches and temples are shut down. There's lawsuits coming from people who want to have their restaurant open and can't for these stupid reasons. But that's mm-hmm. the only thing, though. I'm not trying to be negative here. But even if those people win in court, I mean, it does take time and money and resources away from them. And the state steals all those things. So the state has unlimited resources to just drive someone crazy in court. You know, even yes. if they're wrong, they don't really.
They can literally prolong yeah. and just, yeah, harangue you out to dry. Yeah. that's it. You're right. They can just kill you with proceedings and litigation if they like, if they want to make it that.
Why there's the philosopher Michael Humer, whose amazing book is, I believe it's The Problem of Political Authority and, you know, the requirement to obey or something like that. But he talks about how there should be private citizen oversight of courts, because whenever you have the government, like, you know, New York State Department of Health overseeing the policies for the nursing homes, they issue reports saying nothing bad happened, you know, nothing was wrong or violated, whatever. And it's interesting, too, because a lot of these things are supposed to be supported by and enforced by the commissioner of New York State Department of Health, or they mention having Department of Homeland Security, you know, at the airports enforcing these things. Or even I read in one instance, a narcotics unit was supposed to be enforcing these things as well, because I kind of wonder when these policies, like you said, are passed down from on high, who exactly is enforcing them at all? And how are they enforcing them when they talk about defunding the police? And for instance, in New York State, they said if you don't follow mandatory quarantine, you could get up to 15 days in jail, but they're letting people out of jail.
I know. It's upside down. I mean, black is white, right is wrong, girls are boys. It's just everything has been turned on its head. Mm-hmm. You're right. They're letting people out for arbitrary reasons, seemingly, and so they can make room for, I guess, these people. You know, the mask offenders and those who would criticize, you know, the current regime, you know, their policy.
Yeah.
And it's really eerily similar to like Iran, and like you want to talk about like, hey, what Iran's terrible, or, you know, look at what's going on here. You know, mm-hmm. open your eyes, people.
Yeah.
How is this free?
And we're not saying this to try to scare people or demoralize them or humiliate them. I mean, those are goals of the system. But we're here because this is such a pivotal time for people to look at these rules in the system and to wake up and be like, wait a minute, you know, I don't agree with how this is going down. And that's why I love to talk about self-sufficiency, because it's yes. not a guarantee. But no matter what the system decides to throw at you, the more self-sufficient you are, the better navigation you'll mm-hmm. have getting around this dumb stuff. And I'm not an isolationist, I'm not anti-community, I just recognize, like, the more independent from the system you can possibly be, and I know that's easier said than done, then it yes. matters less what they throw at you, because now they're throwing the book
right.
at us, right? Yeah,
you're right. Because if they cut off, you know, your source of eating or whatever, if you're in the system, they can easily do that. But like you said, if you're self-sufficient, if you grow your food, yeah. if you have access to water, if you have access to shelter that's off the grid, and you know, communications is there in some means in case of an emergency, and you put in place a system that's fully, you know, self-serving for you, and it's based on your own self-sufficiency rather than the public grid, you know, then you will be better off regardless of how it comes down on that side, which is very important.
Yeah. And my friend Shane from the Vanu podcast answers all of those questions and tries to address this. So the good news is, I know it's scary, but there are people who put together information of how to live off the grid or how to have these ideas. It doesn't necessarily have to be anti-technology at all, but it's just getting into the mindset of thinking, hey, I think, you know, this system is taken over and corrupt. How can we build these communities and do things outside of it? Because this is such an obvious, the whole COVID thing, the 2020 election, is such an obvious time to look at your average person and say what's going on.
Yeah, absolutely. Very good point. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Did you know that you can be tracked and traced when you're online? With identity theft and cyber crimes on the rise, your passwords, your identity, and even your physical location can be revealed to complete strangers. Would you like to surf the internet anonymously and not have to worry about these threats? Well, now you can by visiting patriotinternet.com. For about $2 per month, patriotinternet.com will conceal your IP address and your physical location, allowing you to browse the web, send emails, and instant message anonymously. Patriotinternet.com will bypass filters, block sites, and keyword blocking. You can also bypass logging by your router and your ISP. With PatriotInternet.com, there is no software to install and uses 128-bit encryption for your protection. When using wireless hotspots, PatriotInternet.com shields your information from identity thieves and is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. Protect your identity and your freedom with anonymous internet access from PatriotInternet.com. Visit PatriotInternet.com today.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 today.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store, or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
All right. Looks like we are back. We are back. We were just talking about technology before the break, and I just found an artificial intelligence related article showing how they've used in the LA Times, that is from May 20th, citing that doctors enlist artificial intelligence to help them defeat the coronavirus, citing a program made by Epic, a company out of the UC San Diego health system. And they've been, you know, helping to identify pneumonia on chest x-rays and stuff like that. And they decided what they could do when the coronavirus hit. So it's interesting to note, you know, I don't know how one would, you know, feel about artificial intelligence one way or the other, the privacy and all of that. But, you know, it's being implemented here in areas where we don't even have the full scope of the disease or the, you know, what's going on, the pandemic, let alone how this, you know, how this system would work in this type of scenario or environment. It's very interesting that they'll just throw anything at Corona. It's seemingly anything.
I think that the researcher Whitney Webb, who again I suggest Ryan Dawson because he's sort of the starting point for a lot of the information that she talks about, but he's really mm-hmm. the go-to. But in general, she had mentioned an Israeli intelligence agency mm-hmm. teaming up with the U.S. to fight Corona, and I can't remember the name of it. Does that sound familiar to you?
Absolutely. There's lots of companies that are basically coming from IDF related programs, like, you know, Talpiot spinoff graduates, and it's Unit 8200, et cetera. And they have entrepreneurship programs, and they literally get funding from, you know, the government in Israel to come over. They help in affairs in America. They're on the border that Tom likes to bring up a lot, which is true, with the technology on the border, you know, with the whole southern border in America, that whole issue. That's IDF Unit 8200 all over there.
Yeah, the 8200 unit, I think, was in the article specifically.
Yes. Absolutely. They're big and then, on all that.
I know my friend Titus Frost had mentioned that there was some company, I don't know if it's related, I think it's related to Bill Gates or not, that claimed that they had a vaccine, this is a while ago, based on the algorithm that they had, you know, implemented in 3 hours. And it's first, and it is kind of funny because most of the measures taken against Corona sound like they come from an AI machine of going, oh, if humans, I did the calculations, and if humans just stop being humans for about a year, we could eradicate so many diseases.
Yeah, exactly. I'm sure they'd love to see us isolated in our houses for a year, as long as they're beaming all the information right through our television screens and we must comply and listen to it. And get drone deliveries, and I'm sure they'd love that.
UBI and universal health insurance and all these crazy things, yeah.
And Zoom court appearances hosted by Microsoft, Bill Gates. Goodness.
While Microsoft goes ahead and reimagines education in New York.
Yeah, it's all happening, guys. I think that may be it. Thank you guys for listening, and please come back next Sunday. Every Sunday.
All right, take care, man.
You too. God bless America.
Extend your life with Extendovite, a 7-herb combination made from garlic, cayenne, bilberry, hawthorn, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Each herb was chosen for their abilities to help improve irregular heartbeats, chest pain, lower cholesterol, as well as normalize blood pressure and clean and strengthen arteries, plus much, much more. Doctors have taken people off of some or all of their pills just because they believe their patients got better while taking Extendovite. Get the dependability of Extendovite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.